what's your podcast about? And I don't even know how to answer that question. It's about conversations. It's about speaking with people and having dialogue about, you know, things that are going on around us, things that we see in society, and just having our opinion on those things and meeting different people in order and speaking with them, getting to know them, getting to see how different individuals think, how different individuals see life, you know. That's what the podcast is really about, and that's what you tuned in, hosted by the one and only Uncle Kevin.
Yo, what up, guys? How you doing? Welcome back to the podcast, man. Today we're back with Conversations. Oh, today we'll be talking about finances. This is one of my favorite podcasts of the week. We missed a date on Monday. I had to work. So we'll be releasing Talking Finance with Uncle Kevin on Wednesday this week, which is when you're probably getting this podcast. Man, this past weekend that we just went through, it's difficult to talk about finances without talking about the biggest deal that just occurred. And by that, I'm talking about Kylian Mbappe signing to stay with Paris Saint-Germain. Man, what a roller coaster we've gone through. To those people who have been following this story in soccer, of what's been going on, I feel bad calling it soccer because we all call it football, but when you're in North America, you have to call it soccer. One thing that made me pay particular attention to this case was, one, I really did want Mbappe to come to my team. I'm a Liverpool fan, so I was hopeful, but I knew that with the type of teams that were pursuing him, the amount of money he was bound to make, I don't think Liverpool would have been able to afford to pay him that much. But I was also interested in seeing like how much they would actually pay him. I remember we started out when the season started, they were offerings of signing on fees of like $50 million. And we're all like, yo, that is ridiculous. 50 million signing bonus. Like, that's a lot of money for one being, right? But it was interesting to see how the bidding wars happened between Real Madrid and PSG over Mbappe. I remember last year, in before the season started, Real Madrid, or was it in January? Real Madrid bid $200 million for Kylian. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. Think about it. If PSG has said yes, they would have to pay PSG $200 million, and then they would have to pay Mbappe signing on fees. So let's say it was $50 million plus his contract. That would have been crazy, man. Like, the amount of money the team spend on one person, it's like, I don't know what's going on in the world. It's like, man, sheesh. It's just amazing to me, like, how a lot of people are struggling. And I get it, you know, it's not the football team's fault that people are struggling, or that financial or wealth distribution globally is not fair or equal, or opportunities are not there. It's just amazing that they were willing to spend $200 million just like that. And anyway, not to be pity party, this is an interesting case that I would like us to look at and just look at the numbers, and I would want you guys to help me answer the question. Which team would you have gone with if you're Kylian? Would your decision be primarily based on money, or would your decision be something else? How much are you motivated by money? And then I'll also give you guys my own thoughts on what, if I was him, what I would have done and why. All right. So the reports say Real, who were willing to pay $230 million to sign the forward on deadline day last summer, were ready to give Mbappe signing on fee of £110 million and wages of £20 million a year after tax. Their total investment would have been about $300 million over a period of almost 3 to 5 years that they would have paid him, right? And the man is only 23. Mbappe becomes the highest paid player in world football on wages of around £1 million a week, and after pocketing a signing on fee in the region of £100 million from PSG. The club have also made concessions over image rights with Mbappe, in line to receive bonus payments for goals, Ballon d'Or honors, and Champions League success. Man, the amount of money this young man is about to make, man. And I know people will say, oh, there's so much life than money. listen, getting paid $100 million before even getting to do the job, it's like he never has to work for money ever again in his life. You know, it's, he's living a dreamer's dream because now all he has to do is focus on succeeding on the pitch and competing and being the best version of himself. You know, he doesn't have to worry about having a roof over his head at the end of the month, you know, at this number. So this is before the $20 million a year pops in. But I don't understand how it turns out into being 300 if he's making 20 million. So that means he's probably making more. I've read reports where they say he's making like 50 million pounds a year. So that will translate to 150 for the 3 years he signed, and then 250. And then I guess the other 50 will be in bonuses, man. But PSG, the perennial French champion that is bankrolled by Gus Rich Qatar, prevented him from leaving as a free agent by offering even better terms. PSG offered a similar fee, but a far higher base salary, also after taxes, keeping him on a team that already includes the Argentine star Lionel Messi and the Brazilian forward Neymar, was acquired by PSG for a record fee, $263 million in 2017. The saga surrounding Mbappe's future had gripped France. It was considered a matter of such national importance that last month, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, told a news conference he would do whatever he could to keep Mbappe considered a national treasure in the country. This story was taken from the New York Times. Listen, man. You know, you've grown and you're super talented if the president of a country is doing whatever he can to keep you in the country from moving to a different nation. That's how you know soccer is big. But it also makes me worry about soccer. It also makes me worry about the fairness of the game, you know. If one player, if a coach, if a president of a nation has to step in to making sure a player doesn't leave a nation to go play somewhere else, the essence of competition is lost because a lot of times, you know, you never want to disappoint your country, especially your president. And if we're taking away from football and making it a national government political issue, it just rubs wrong, you know. Imagine being in the dressing room with Killian and thinking to yourself, yo, the president really wants this guy to be here. What about me? But I guess, you know, not everybody thinks that way. And it's fascinating the numbers that get thrown out, like, yo, 100 million pounds, 50 million pounds after taxes a year. Like, it's a lot of money, man. Continuing, La Liga was furious with the scandalous deal. Statement from La Liga on Saturday night read, "This type of agreement attacks the economic sustainability of European football, putting at risk hundreds of thousands of jobs and sporting integrity at risk, not only in European competitions, but also in domestic leagues. It is scandalous for a club like PSG, which last season reported losses of more than 220 million euros after accumulating losses of more than 700 million euros in prior seasons, while reporting sponsorship income at a doubtful valuation. With the cost of sports staff around 650 million euros for this 2021 and 22 season, could face an agreement of these characteristics, while those clubs that could accept the arrival of the player without seeing their wage bill compromised are left without being able to sign him." You know, it's fascinating. Like, when you're reading these numbers, right? When you're reading 700 million euros, it's like, oh yeah, that's almost $1 billion in losses that team had. And they just signed the brother to another 300 million pounds, which still is a lot of money. And it gets you to ask and question a lot of things, but you cannot answer them. You know, it's how rich people influence the game now, because, you know, no one can compete at these inflated numbers. And these are not even inflated numbers, man. This is beyond inflated numbers. Like, if as a player someone offered me, if I played sports and someone offers me $300 million to play for them 3 years, I'm taking it. You know, $100 million a year. Who am I to say no to that? I'll take it, fam. Like, hey, you know, you can only compete so much. And if I'm 23, by the time I'm 26, I can still move to a different team and do different things. And at that point, my motivation is no longer money, right? It's just to compete and live in different parts of the world and do different things. And who knows, not even play, you know, what's the incentive and motivation after that, you know? So this brings us to a conclusion of the Killian's story. The thing that I would like to ask you guys is, if you were to be put in the same shoes, if you were to be given the same type of deals that Killian was offered, what would you guys do? And for me, I think I would do the same. I'd have resigned for PSG. Because if you offer me $300 million, man, money really does play a big role. $300 million, and say Real Madrid was offering you $250, I think I would still take $300 because it's like, eh, I'm comfortable where I'm at. There's no need to move. And the money, I think, yeah, $300 million, man. $300 million pounds or euros, whatever. I think $300 million, whatever you put in front of it, is a lot of money that I would have stayed. You know, I would not then give people the reasonings, that the reasons that he's giving, where he's like, oh, I wanted to stay in my country. I think that's nonsense. You know, as a reason to stay, to not move or to not do something, it might be true to him. Like, it might be something that you consider, like, oh, yeah, I want to stay in my country and help build the project that we're working on. But at some point, man, you have to be honest with yourself. Like, yo, if you were offered $300 million, what would you do? You know, they were willing to pay me more. So that's why I stayed for, you know, I'm constantly looking for different opportunities for different things. But if somebody offered me $300 million, I'm likely going with the highest bidder, man. Because at the end of the day, that's why we all do this. These teams want these players because they know the amount of money that they'll get from having such players. If you have Mbappe on your team, the image, right, the marketing opportunities, the eyes that will be on your team every week, it's all revenue generation. You know, we are all watching the TV to watch Mbappe play, especially if he was at Real Madrid or Liverpool, wherever he is, we want to see him play. And in that, a lot of revenue is created. So it's fair enough for him to just say, yo, I was offered the most money here, or I was offered the same terms and there was no point of me moving to a team that I feel is rebuilding in Real Madrid or whatever. I don't know what he would have said, but still, all I know is simply saying that he wants to stay in the French league is, that's not, that doesn't cut it. Speaking of other deals that have been happening in soccer, I don't know if you guys play FIFA. You know, one of the sports when I grew up playing on PlayStation, one of the games I used to play a lot was FIFA. And I remember, I think the first FIFA I played was 2011. No, the first FIFA that I had for myself was the 2010 one, the 2010 World Cup. That was the first time I owned a PlayStation and a PlayStation disc. Prior to that, I had been playing PlayStation like at games. So back home, what we have is we have what we call like internet cafes where you would be able to play this game. So we used to play FIFA a lot. And it was an awesome game, man. And it's sad to read that FIFA and EA Sports have ended a decades-long video game partnership. The demise of a relationship that produced one of the most popular games of all time will mean risks for soccer's governing body, but a few changes for consumers. After almost three decades of one of the most successful commercial relationships in sports is over, months of tense negotiations between the video game maker, Electronic Arts, and FIFA Soccer Club, global governing body ended without an agreement to extend a partnership that had created not so much wildly a popular game as a cultural phenomenon. The current deal, which was to end after this year's World Cup in Qatar, has been adjusted to run through to the Women's World Cup next summer. Once that tournament is over, the company said 150 million video game players will have to get used to a new name from series EA Sports FC. You know, this is a sad, sad moment. Like, I remember, like, every time you buy, like, when it comes out, FIFA, from FIFA 10, when I got in, FIFA 11, FIFA 12, FIFA 13, FIFA 14, you always looked forward to the next year. Like, what are they going to do? What improvements in terms of technology, in terms of gameplay that they were going to do? FIFA 18, FIFA 19, FIFA 20, like, that, you know, it's a whole tribe, it's a whole thing. And for them to have it end, it's sad, but I guess the day when money is involved, you know, things tend not to move in the way they're supposed to. In addition to a doubling of its licensing fee, FIFA also demanded the ability to attach its brand to other digital products, including other video games. According to people familiar with the talks, that proved to be a step too far for EA Sports, which now must persuade legions of devoted fans to get used to another name. So one of the challenges that you have, right, is when it comes to marketing and branding, once you have a strong brand, you want to maximize the amount of revenue that you can derive from that brand. And for FIFA, it's an understandable thing because when it comes to video games, when it comes to games, mobile games, only dealing with EA Sports it was a lucrative deal for them. But what it does is it limits how much they can spread. You know, I remember if you play Pro Evolution Soccer, for example, you don't get because of the licensing deals that EA Sports had, Pro Evolution Soccer could not use certain names. They could not use FIFA. They could not use everything. And that limited their ability to penetrate markets, you know, because FIFA, a lot of people know what FIFA is, especially in non-European countries. So when you have the brand FIFA, it's easy to break in and create a market dominance that EA Sports has had for a long time. And when you look at alternative soccer games like Pro Evolution Soccer, it was very difficult to create a fan base for it. So now for FIFA, what that means is, hey, why am I only dealing with one service provider when I can deal with multiple and create multiple streams of income for myself? So I understand where they're coming from. But then for EA Sports as well, the thing that made their brand separate and ideal was having that FIFA brand on their product. So the moment they have to share, they just become part of their competitors. So if you know, imagine Pro Evolution Soccer and FIFA and EA Sports share the same name. So it's like, okay, these people are going to eat in on our branding, you know, and stuff like that. So it's an understandable issue on both sides that they want. And I feel in this instance, I don't think there's it's a lose-lose situation in terms of the relationship, but I think FIFA loses more, but I don't know. We'll see. As FIFA seeks a new partner, many of those licenses will limit what it can do. For instance, the world's two biggest club competitions, England's Premier League and European Soccer's Elite Champions League, will be available only to players on EA Sports FC. So yeah, this is the same thing that would happen on Pro Evolution Soccer. Is you'd go play it, but your teams will not have the same names. The leagues will not have the same names. It'll be weird stuff like that. Like Liverpool, I remember one point was called Merseyside Red. So that's a challenge. And it's difficult to make people like, you know, oh, you want to play a game of soccer. You just want to play with your favorite team. And then it's like Merseyside Red, Merseyside Blue, some weird names like that. So that's the challenge that FIFA is going to have. But Pro Evolution Soccer has been there for a long time and it's been surviving. So having the name FIFA, I'm pretty sure they'll come up with different terms and conditions for themselves that will help them succeed, you know. But it is a challenge because for FIFA, they're losing a good partner in EA Sports. You know, there's nothing like playing that game and then it's like, EA Sports, it's in the game. And then you get to play your game. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this progresses and to see how EA Sports will do, because calling the game EA Sports FC, for me right now, it doesn't work, but we'll see. Because I'm pretty sure once I get a PlayStation 5, I was going to look for a FIFA, but you know, I guess now I'll be looking for EA Sports. Looking forward to, you know, today we'll be keeping it with sports since we started with Mbappe. We'll be moving to another player that I feel like his story was interesting, and that is Zion Williamson, who is due this July, I believe, to get a contract extension for almost $170 million. So that's something that just piqued my interest when we're talking about finances in terms of how money flows in sports and entertainment, man. It's amazing. Like, the man, listen to this. Zion Williamson didn't play a single second for the New Orleans Pelicans this season due to a broken foot, but he will still be eligible to sign a massive contract extension over the offseason. There has been some speculation about Williamson's level of happiness with the Pelicans and if he's interested in remaining with the franchise long term. But when asked if he would sign an extension over the summer if offered, Williamson didn't hesitate. Of course, I wouldn't be able to sign it fast enough, Williamson said to the media members on Friday, before uttering some words that had to sound like music to the ears of Pelicans fans. I can't control rumors and how people feel about certain things, but anybody that knows me knows I want to be here. Even if Williamson was unhappy in New Orleans, he would still sign the extension in order to ensure his money and then ask for a trade down the road. We've seen plenty of star players demand trades over the past few years. Ben Simmons, for example, signed a 5-year, $170 million extension with the Philadelphia 76ers in 2019, only to demand a trade 2 years later. Listen, man, $170 million is a lot of money, man. That's some life-changing life just for playing ball. But the thing is, this guy is, like I said, with Mbappe, it's people tune in to the NBA for the players, you know. That's why people watch. And there's a lot of money that's generated by their presence in these games. It's difficult to create that money on your own without the platform, the NBA platform, without the teams, without the franchises, how they're designed. But at the end of the day, if these people are making $170 million, you're guaranteed that the clubs are not running losses, you know. They are making good money. But for me, once again, you know, it's people, I understand when you don't have money and you're living check to check and you're working and you're doing everything that you can just to survive. It's hard to look at people who make such amounts of money and have an understanding of having them make decisions beyond money. But if somebody offers me, and I say it, someone offers me $170 million, I'm staying. Because for me, I've seen poverty, fam. I've seen what being broke is like. So I understand why these players end up making the decisions they make. He is honest, man. He's like, hey, of course, we're signing. Like, yo, it's $170 million. Show me where to sign and I'll sign. Like, what else? What else can the brother do? All I pray is these two brothers have great investment advisors around them who show them how to protect their money and how to grow it as well. You know, at $170 million with the image rise that they have, the opportunities that they have with their fame that they're garnering, it's, you don't want to get comfortable with it because, you know, it's one thing to say $170 million. There's 170 million reasons to spend it as well, you know. So you want to have great advisors around you. Moving on, another player. Manchester City are ready to announce that they finally landed their big summer target, Erling Haaland. I think he was announced a week ago. Personal terms were agreed on a 5-year basic. Listen to this. 5-year basic, £350,000 a week contract. And they have now agreed to trigger a $64 million release clause with the striker's current club, Borussia Dortmund. You know, money plays a critical role in most negotiations, but the reasons people make a lot of deals is to create great experiences for their fans and to give themselves an opportunity to win. You know, sports are fascinating. Sports are a fascinating industry to look at. The amount of money that's generated by fans, you know, without fans, there's no sports. There's no money because you can say the Premier League is the best league in the world. People tune in to watch, generates a lot of revenue, but it's because of the fans, you know, and fans have nothing tying them to watching sports. Like, there's no reason. If your favorite team wins or loses, it doesn't affect you in any way unless you're someone who bets. It's just that emotional connection. And for me, it fascinates me how much cash is generated from that, you know, how much money is made from fans, you know, and how people have always been the most important aspect of anything, any business, and how teams now are just in a position to spend money like this. You know, it's, I don't know about the NBA, but in soccer, it's sad because a lot of times the money that teams spend is not, especially like these big teams, it's not money from generated by the club, but it's money being poured in by rich people into these clubs to pay high wages and do ridiculous things to where clubs are having losses of 700 million euros, but you're spending 300 million euros on somebody. That becomes the sad moments that we live in because it makes it difficult to compete But the good thing is, you know, you have storylines like Liverpool where they eat what they kill, you know, and they're still able to compete at the highest level. But at the end of the day, it's how many Liverpools exist, you know, how many teams can do that, and at what point will it stop? Because at some point, soccer, football will just become a rich man's game. The team with the most money wins because it attracts the best coaches, it attracts the best players. If I was offered $300 million, I don't think I would turn it down, you know. Be it for competition, integrity, whatever, it's, I have a family to look after, a legacy. And I'm super happy for Kylian Mbappe. I'm super happy for his family. I'm super happy for them because, you know, that's a black family that just made money. And his parents, I think, are first-generation immigrants. So that's good business dealing for them. And I'm super proud of them and super proud of the amount of money that they've been able to generate. I pray and hope that they have great financial heads and they're able to invest his money. They're able to help him take care of generations to come and put him in a position to even generate more. Because I think as a player and as a global superstar, he's a billion-dollar talent. And at 26, he would have $300 million in the bank. And he has the opportunity to be a Michael Jordan of soccer. You know, he has the opportunity to go beyond the Messis and the Ronaldos in terms of financial earnings as long as he stays fit and keeps producing in terms of all that. And I can't wait to see what he does with his life, you know. But what I'm proud of is when we look up now, we see people who look like us doing it. You know, it was always difficult when you look up and you see Cristiano Ronaldo, you see Lionel Messi, and you think, wow, like, yeah, they make big contracts. But to be able to see Kylian Mbappe at the top like that, it's a great thing, earning those big bucks. I hope he wins a Ballon d'Or because that creates representation and it makes us all realize what's possible and what to dream, you know. So I'm super happy for Kylian. I'm super happy for Zion. I'm happy for Erling. These young people are proving to us what's possible if you are elite at what you do. Because they're not making this money because, you know, they are them. It's because they're elite and they play at the highest level at a very young age. Erling Haaland is only 21, making £350,000 a week. You know, even if it's 5 years, in 5 years, you'll only be 26 and he can move to another club. He can do whatever he wants. You look at Kylian, he's 23. I don't know how old Zion is, probably around the same age as well. So it makes you very proud of the young people and what they're doing. And I pray and hope that they have great advisors around them that help them, you know, take care of their money and grow it. But I think for all of us, we have to start reflecting on our lives and start asking ourselves, what is the value of our lives and our skills and our talents? And where would we take them to where it's valued enough to whereby we can also start making these amounts of money, man? $100 million. Yeah. That's something. That's something, man. I can't wait for someone to offer me that. I think I'm pretty much signing real quick, man. I don't even know if I'll ask questions. I'm like, yo, okay. This is what, okay. You know? But I'm just putting it out there to the universe because I want to be elite like that. You know, I think that's pretty cool. And we're able to dream like that because guys like Kylian and Zion are doing it. You know, LeBron has been doing it, but LeBron is someone who was great, you know. But for me, that Kylian Mbappe deal really changed my perspective on life, on what's possible, man. So kudos to him. And let me know in the comments what you think. You know, with that said, I'll see you guys in the next one.